Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
A Philadelphia man is charged with threatening to kill a representative of a political party who just so happens to be a Republican woman who, yes, is a staffer. She works with PAGOP. And while she was recruiting poll watchers, this is when she was threatened. Her life was threatened. So I want to talk about two things that this happened. It is a lead story. It's a story that I talked about earlier this morning during the news in Kale and Company. And it should be at the top of everybody's minds. It should be a lead story. It should be a national story. I'll talk in a moment about the bias by omission, and there are many layers of it, and it's sickening to me. But DOJ, this is the U.S. Department of Justice working with local authorities as well, but DOJ identifying the man they've arrested, 62-year-old John Pollard of Philadelphia, accusing him of sending these threatening text messages to the victim. And that's according to this indictment, which has just been unsealed. He's charged with one count of sending interstate threats. He remains under investigation. That's according to the FBI.
Oh.
So I don't know if he's facing other charges, if they're considering other charges involving other incidents or other charges involving this incident. So I have some questions here. But according to the situation, according to the indictment that they've released now, he sent multiple threatening messages. This happened back on September 6th. And one of them says, "I will kill you if you don't answer me." These are terrifying. If you can imagine this, "I will kill you if you don't answer me. Your days are numbered, B." Beep, you know, referencing a female nasty word.
Wow.
"Gonna effing find you and skin you alive. And use your skin for effing toilet paper, you bleep effing bad." Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on.
Why is this not national news?
I would think this is a huge story. Now, so first of all, it's horrible. I'm glad the victim is, you know, physically okay. And you may say, well, how could he have texted her? Because this is she is a Pennsylvania. She works for the GOP. She is a staffer. I've confirmed that. She was out recruiting these volunteers, and so she put her information, her full name, as well as her phone number out there because she wanted, or her work cell, obviously, that they've given her, so that she was putting it out there to recruit people. As often, you know, how many times do we have people call in? Hey, you know, here's our information. And then you go to their, you know, Trump Force 47 or whatever that looks like. And sometimes you will see somebody's a cell phone that has been assigned to them by their employer, right? As they're, you know, working for the polls and that sort of thing. So in this case, though, this man was able to, according to the authorities, he was able to then text her these threatening messages and threaten to kill her, allegedly. So now he's facing these charges. In the actual news release, they say they call her Victim One. Victim One's capacity as an employee of a state political party. Victim One is what they call her. The fact that they're calling her Victim One makes me wonder if there's a Victim Two or a Victim Three or a Victim Four or Five. I don't have that information, but they're not calling her Jane Doe or, you know, GOP PA worker or something of that nature. They're calling her Victim One, which does make me, it could lead one to conclude or ask the question whether there are other victims. So we'll continue to watch for that as they continue to investigate. But if you look in the Pennsylvania Inquirer and other publications, nobody is pointing the fact that or reporting the fact. And I know that at least in one case in the Philadelphia Inquirer, I know that they were speaking and confirming the story, speaking to the Pennsylvania GOP. So they certainly know that this is a Republican woman, a conservative woman, that sort of thing. I just don't see that, you know, really put out there. And I just ask you the question, not for nothing, but if this woman worked for the Democrats, right? And let's just say that this is one of those MAGA or Trump hat wearing Republican MAGA men. Can you only imagine? Do you think that it would get the exact same treatment and reporting as this story? 855-839-1210. To say that I'm going to, you know, to say that to this person that I am going to skin you alive. And it just the vulgar language and the threats. I'm going to skin you alive like a Hannibal Lecter creepazoid. Can you imagine getting this text?
Yeah.
This poor woman. You know what I mean? But I just,
so I'm doing a quick scan. Washington
Post.
Seeing? I'll read it to you. It's Philadelphia man has been charged with threatening to kill a Pennsylvania state political party official. No mention of Republican. CNN. A Philadelphia man is facing federal charges for allegedly threatening to skin alive a state party representative who was recruiting poll watchers. No mention that representative is, as you say, Republican.
Yeah, and so here's, and you may say, well, the news release, they don't want to identify the victim. Okay, if the news release, and ultimately this is under the Justice Department's Election Threats Task Force that was announced, you may recall, by the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, and then launched by others and through others. And so this is, first of all, good job by this task force. They do not identify in their news release any information about the victim or which party she worked for. And sometimes that does happen because they want to protect a victim, right? I mean, she's obvious. I mean, this is horrifying and terrifying. And so they want to respect the victim's privacy rights. However, generally speaking, when you get something of this level, you are a journalist or a journalistic organization. What do? You pick up the phone. You call up the GOP folks because, you know, everybody, you've been covering this. We're 2 weeks before a major election. We've all been covering it. And so you call the GOP folks and you call the folks on the Democrat side of things and you say, hey, I'm so sorry to hear this. Was this one of your workers? Could we talk to this person? And we would not release her name. Also, the gender of the person's not being released in the news release. So generally, they would be very curious. And so I'm just curious about the fact that they seem to be very uncurious. Do they not? They're not really asking many questions. Oh, well, we're just going to report the news release. And I guess that's all we're going to report.
It's really sad, the state of news. And you see it all over the place that newsrooms have been shrunken so much. I mean, so many are just remote that it's become the easy journalistic take to just take a news release, rehash it in some other kind of words, and essentially plagiarize it into your own newspaper rather than doing any kind of investigative journalism whatsoever.
Yeah, it's so true, Dan. But I will say this, there are other stories where they're doing they seem to have a lot of resources.
Yeah. You know what, you're right.
Involving other things, just
very
not this
specific
one.
Specific direction, yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, to me,
18 Supreme Court reporters, but they can't get one investigative report.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to point this out to you. Have they done anything wrong or misleading as far as what they've put out there? No, I'm not saying that. It's bias by omission. It allows them to say, oh, well, we reported what the news release had, but they're incredibly uncurious. I guarantee you that if this case involved a woman who is working for the Democrats and trying to recruit people to be poll watchers, and this is a Democrat, and like I say, it's one of those evil, you know, right-wing MAGA red hat wearing men. You pigs. Can you only imagine the coverage? It would be all over. It'd be national news, it'd be local news. So
shame.
Yes, shame on you.
Shame.
So I just want to point that out to you. Little something there. And yeah, I reported earlier in Kale and Company this other sicko story, and I'll get to some happier news about Pennsylvania's newest millionaire, thanks to Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I have to report quickly on this one. And this is a CEO of a major company, Abercrombie & Fitch, Mike Jeffries, his partner, Matt Smith, a third man identified as Jim Jacobson. They are under arrest this morning, accused of being part of this sicko criminal sex trafficking investigation.
Really?
By the feds.
Wow.
Kudos to the FBI. And so, you know me with pedophiles and no sleepovers. My kids, they could tell you all the stories since they were little of, don't approach that ice cream truck man. He's a pedophile, you know. Anyway, the truth is, I mean, this is sick. But there is a lawsuit representing some of these plaintiffs who were underage, young boys and men, and their parents maybe entrusted them to, because they thought, oh, they're clothing models, you know, and this could be a career and they can make a lot of money
so
and
sad.
Save away for college. It makes me nauseous. But in this, the allegation here is that these people, the CEO of Abercrombie and his associates, ran this through the company, a clothing company, and ran the sex trafficking organization that permeated allegedly through the company and allowed these three men who have been arrested just today to victimize and to be predators of dozens and dozens of these young, aspiring male models, boys, teenage boys, and young men. So it's a horrific allegation. Just want to put that one out there to you. And then the Biden administration today proposing another story that's making national and local headlines. The Biden administration proposing private insurers cover over-the-counter birth control at no cost to patients in an effort to expand access to contraceptive products. And so this is part of the Biden administration doing this, saying, hey, you know, private insurers should cover it. It's pretty cheap. It's been around. The pill has been around for 75 years now. I'm saying it's about time. I think it should be free. I think it should be over the counter, or, you know, like sell it like the Sudafed, you know, or whatever. But birth control pills, they've been around forever. They're safe. If you can take Sudafed, you could take a birth control pill. And it also is not just for birth control. They should rename it because it is medication. It mitigates all your monthly stuff. That's not monthly. It's 7 to 10 days every 3 weeks. And so this mitigates all those symptoms. So it's pretty cheap as of right now. It's pretty cheap and affordable. Yeah, make it over the counter and make it very cheap, or I think most private insurers already cover it fully at zero cost. So this is one of those pieces of low-hanging fruit that, yeah, I
you
agree
think,
with.
This is an effort and an October surprise?
No.
No?
No, they've talked about this.
Okay.
For a long time. New Jersey, a lot of states have it.
Yeah.
So
I just feel like they're trying to entrap Trump to make a like anti, you know, birth control kind of comment here, because they're doing this now, right now, before the election, and, you know, trying to make a huge issue about women's rights again. But I don't think, similar to many conservatives, Trump's going to take the bait, because I think a lot of people are in favor of this kind of birth control.
No, I think if they do ask Trump, the Biden administration made the announcement, and to your point, Dan, I think that everybody has seen this coming for many. I've been saying this for years. And so, you know, I think the question is, will it be a states' rights thing? Will it be, how does that work? Because some states already have it. So that they have to work that out with the insurance companies. But I think it's a no-brainer. And I think if Trump, if asked about it, he'll say the same thing he said about other things. He'll say, yeah, good idea. But the insurance companies and the states have to work out some of the details. And you might have some states where they have an age restriction, you know, much like the Sudafed, if you want to get the Sudafed. So many people are saying there are some risks if you smoke, if you have heart conditions. So they're going to want to, you know, have parental issues in some states, maybe not in other states. What, 16 and over? I'm not sure. So those are the details. All right.
So, the strategy, though, playing it out step by step.
Yeah.
And I just want your answer to this.
Yes.
Is how it's going to be is, I feel like they're going to come at Trump. And he's going to say he agrees with this. And if we're digging through it, this is a nationalization of a birth control issue, right? So I think the follow-up question by the media, by the leftist media, the anti-Trump media, is going to be, how are you in favor of nationalizing this issue while keeping abortion rights at the state level? How do you think he should respond to that?
I think Donald J. Trump, this is a great opportunity to say that if we could prevent any woman from ever facing that procedure and a decision over that procedure, and if this could prevent that and also serve as medication for women, isn't this a no-brainer? Isn't this the answer that you want to prevent anybody from ever having to go through with that procedure for any reason, even a rare reason? Nobody wants this procedure. And so if this would help mitigate that, It's incredible, and it's an important medication. Seriously, it's used I can tell you, I can tell you personally, and I know many women who could tell you the same, that it regulates things, it lessens things, all the cramping, all the, you know, situation there. And so I think it's a no-brainer. But I think anything that we can do to prevent, you know, even I would even submit to you, why doesn't every emergency department, I hope that they have a plan B, that if somebody comes in and they are a victim of an assault, that they absolutely would have access to something that would immediately bring on their period so that that egg and sperm never meet and that life is never created, so that you could have your most conservative pro-lifer who could say, oh yeah, great idea, right? This is a win-win for society, for and in particular for the woman, the girl, the victim, right? Boom, there it is. That really brings us to two stories we want to get to, and we have the audio. Dan has pulled all the audio, so we'll get, I guess, to around the corner. We have Trump trying to court the Christian vote and the Bible Belt. So North Carolina yesterday, in, I believe, Miami today. And we also have Elon Musk crowning the latest Pennsylvania millionaire, all of that and so much more. Thanks for being here.
And my faith took on new meaning on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, where I was knocked to the ground, essentially, by what seemed like a supernatural hand. And I would like to think that God saved me for a purpose, and that's to make our country greater than ever before.
Yes, Donald J. Trump, during this event in North Carolina, dubbed an 11th hour faith leaders meeting. And this is a series of conservative pastors were speaking at this, and Donald J. Trump talking about his faith, talking about spiritual warfare at this great rally, and really appealing to Christian voters. I've talked a lot about, and every time I interview somebody who's, you know, Michael Whatley or whoever that is, that's a pundit or official, talking about getting especially evangelicals, Christians, who we know by the millions have said they're not going to vote. They're going to abstain from voting because they lost faith in our system of elections. One of the reasons. And so Trump is, you know, back over and over, just making the appeal to these Christian voters and saying that we are war, that there's a spiritual warfare going on in this country right now. I know that Ben Carson was there as well. And in a moment, you'll hear his son, who Eric Trump, who makes a great comment about something that the Veep, Kamala Harris, made a comment about, and he has a great comeback to that. But there's more that Donald J. Trump talked about as well, and not just spiritual health and faith, but as well, he's talking about MAHA, making America healthy again.
November 5th will be the most important day in the history of our country, and together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again.
It's like a Dr. Seuss.
We will make America safe again.
Green eggs in hand.
And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
God bless you all. And this after, I know that some Christian students in Wisconsin were speaking out after Vice President Kamala Harris had told them that they were, quote, at the wrong rally. I'm not sure if you heard that. So
with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
And so these are Christian students. They were at the Harris rally. This was in Wisconsin. And the Christian students had said they're both juniors at the school where she was visiting, University of Wisconsin La Crosse, there last week. And so they say that, you know, Harris was very sarcastic. Then they were pushed and shoved. They've been speaking out about this. So that was Harris's comment to them. Dan actually found, the great Dan Borowski actually found where now, fast forward to yesterday in North Carolina, and kudos to Eric Trump for seizing the moment as they're speaking to this huge crowd of Christians in North Carolina.
North Carolina! Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're at the right rally.
After Harris said you're at the wrong rally. So, you know, in this one, Trump told the crowd that, in fact, you know, he's somebody who respects religious rights and that the Democrats, and in particular this administration, is not going to respect your religious rights. That's one of the issues here. Ben Carson, by the way, was the one to intro Trump, the campaign's national faith chairman, for this election. I've obviously talked to Ben Carson, interviewed him on the show multiple times, but, you know, openly rejecting the idea of a secular society, saying that, you know, our faith is part of the fabric of our nation and that your faith should be respected. Trump also brought up, I thought this was interesting too, as he was speaking about faith, touting his decision while in office when he was president to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, which, as you know, was condemned by the rest of the world leaders, right, for threatening to inflame tensions in Israel and Palestine at the time. But this was a campaign promise, as you all know, by Trump. He made the promise like every other president. Every other president has promised it, including Obama, including Bush. You can go back and look for yourselves. Trump as well promised it, but he did it. He followed through on that promise. And so he's another spot where you can say he's a proven winner.
We have a team of pastors, ministers, and even rabbis where we are very, they like what I've done for Israel, I can tell you that. We have a lot of rabbis. Thank you.
And so there he is. Huge applause. I know that moving forward, I will be talking about Elon Musk's America PAC. Yes, he just handed out to a third lucky Pennsylvanian, this time a Pennsylvania woman. Yeah, she got the check for $1 million. Why? Because she signed the petition supporting the United States Constitution. That's all you have to do. Trust me, I'm doing this thing every day. I have so many questions about this. I put my kid's name, and I'm signing the petition, baby. I believe in the U.S. Constitution.
How many entries have you done now?
I've done it every day since he announced it. $1 million. And my husband's always the lucky. He's won the lottery before. Like, he's going to win it.
Don Stanford, come on now.
I just want to meet Elon. You know what I mean? How cool, like, in person, you know, not just see him at a big event. So that's pretty exciting. So we'll talk about that moving forward. And you've lined up Tim Murtaugh. This is exciting.
Got Tim Murtaugh coming on in 11.
Woohoo! So that's going to be awesome. We have a lot of great interviews for you just ahead. This is The Dawn Show. Dawn Stensland, 855-839-1210 is the number to call. So much more to talk about. I want to take your calls. I want to talk about Elon Musk. Be right back. Just a little news for you, and this is big. We just interviewed this week. We talked to our friend Neil Young, running for Congress in Pennsylvania. They have just announced a debate. So he is somebody who is a Republican. Neil is running against a very popular incumbent. This is Chester and Bucks counties. And now they've agreed to a debate. Does this mean that, you know, Neil Young's opponent is worried about the red fever that's sweeping across Pennsylvania? I'm not too sure, but their debate is tomorrow. So I'll take you there and I'll give you much more information. But I think that many of the incumbent candidates who are being challenged, including perhaps the one who I'm about to interview, and this is Ed Moy, who is a Republican and running for the House of Representatives, District 70, somebody who identifies as a Christian, is pro-law enforcement, but want to welcome in Ed Moy. And Ed, are you feeling it? I mean, as we are 2 weeks away from the election right now, are you feeling the energy change in the room, so-called?
Yes. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Dawn.
Absolutely.
And yes, I am feeling it. We had a meeting last night here in Montgomery County. I'm the Wes Norton vice chair, and we had an area meeting, and we had almost every member was there that was part of the Area 8, and we had a lot of energy going in the room, and we were just talking about just how much things have seemed to have changed from the last election. One story, Tom DiBello told us about a parade that he goes to. He's the Montgomery County Commissioner Republican. He and his assistant, well, she was telling the story how they would go to two parades in the last couple of years, and they were in Democrat districts, and they get booed and profanities and whatnot. And this time, that same parade, the Democrat area, they were welcoming him and hugging him and the whole nine. So, yes, we see it and we feel it.
And so in Montgomery County, there, if you look at all the news reports, everybody says, oh, Montgomery County, they've gone blue. They're all Democrats. So what makes you think that, you know, you can run and win in a suburb like Monco, Ed Moy, and especially when you think about your opponent, Matt Bradford, well-known, somebody who's, I know he received a lot of funds from the teachers union, reportedly last time around $250,000 or more, and he was credited, your opponent was credited with being the one who influenced Governor Josh Shapiro to line item veto the promise that Shapiro made when he was campaigning that he would make sure that the poorest children in the poorest areas, especially like Philadelphia, would get school vouchers. And that was your opponent, Matt Bradford, was the one credited with achieving that, if you will. I think it's a shame if you're proud of that situation, but he was one who was credited with basically putting a kibosh on those school vouchers. Do you think that kind of move by your opponent makes him vulnerable?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, one of the reasons, well, the main reason I think that I can win is that with God, all things are possible. Like you said, I am a Christian. Number one. Number two, that's one of my top issues is school vouchers / school choice. And from what I understand, the issue has been out there. The bill has been, like you said, it was on Matt Bradford's desk first, and he would not touch it. One of the other representatives told me that he wouldn't touch it. So, yes. He's going to, if that's the hill that he wants to die on, then yes, I fully believe that I can beat him on that. Also, Montgomery County was blue. I'm thinking it's more purple turning red at this point in time. Our numbers are going crazy behind us. I'm watching one particular pollster every day, and he does this aggregate. Of course, he starts with Trump. And it filters down, but I think he's mentioned Montgomery County once or twice. And thanks to people like Scott Pressler and Trump Force 47 and Chase the Vote, there's a lot of new registered Republicans, and there's a lot of Democrats that have come over to the light side, let's say.
Mm-hmm. And Ed, you know, continuing the conversation with Ed Moy. You know, your background in law enforcement as a Pennsylvania State Police, you know, state trooper as well. You have served in the United States Air Force as a munitions maintenance specialist, and then working in the private sector as well as vice president of a security company. How do you think that your background, you know, and thank you for your service to our country, Ed, but how do you think your background helps you serve Montgomery County and District 70?
Well, thank you for the accolades. It helps me in that I've already been in service to the people, and I know how that works. So starting with the military, it's all about service. Over 20 years in the Pennsylvania State Police, mm-hmm. I'm out here. I'm working for the people. I was on the street. I'm one of those police officers that was on the street. I saw Dave McCormick commercial. Yeah.
Yes.
These cops. I'm for Casey. Casey did this, that, the other. Well, yeah. One cop in particular I know has never been on the street. Well, he's a police chief. Well, not chief, but he's the head of a police agency. He's never been on the street. I was out on the streets for 19 years before I got promoted to corporal.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to serve the people, and it's all about hands on, getting in there. Talking to the right people, I'm gonna rely on people in my district, As far as the citizenry, I'm kicking around the idea of forming a citizen advisory committee when certain bills come across our desk, and I'm going to go from there, and I'm going to take advice from higher ups like Donna Sharon, who's the only Republican in Montgomery County in the House right now. State Senator Tracy Pinnichuk, I'm going to pull on her coattails when I get there. no problem. I can do this.
And, you know, as far as, you know, what I hear, Ed, from, because I live in actually Philadelphia County, but in Philadelphia, but I have a lot of friends and family who live in Monco. And so what I hear about you is they talk about the fact that you're a man of integrity as far as your service and the fact that you do have the mix of private sector experience, but as well law enforcement and military. And when we think about the safety issues going on, and I personally will say I talk to so many on a daily basis. I am reaching out to law enforcement across Montgomery County, just talking about keeping the malls and shopping centers safe, keeping the schools safe and secure. The burglaries are up. A lot of these other so-called, you know, quality of life crimes, those have all risen. And so what do you say as far as representing Montgomery County and thinking about safety, the safety of everybody across the board in Montgo?
Oh, I'll tell you a story. I was working for someone in the private sector. I'm not going to give any names, but she's an elderly woman. And I was doing and what we call EP work, executive protection. Mm-hmm. And I took her home one night. She's got this huge home with the staff. I've done this for maybe four or five times before, but this is the first time I took her home at midnight, and there was no one at home with her. There's no staff there. And I told her this too. Apparently, of course, she does this all the time. She's got an alarm in the house. I told her I wanted to pull out my weapon and clear her house to make sure that there's no one in our house, because I don't know how to turn that off. It's all about safety and security. Once you do this work, once you're a policeman, once you're in law enforcement, it's all about keeping the public safe. And this is what we do. And being the vice president of a security company, I learned more of the ins and outs as far as the executive side. And, if anyone knows anything about safety and security for this country, it's us people in law enforcement.
Absolutely. Well, Ed Moy, 4PA, hope you come back. I just wish you the best. I know that we're 2 weeks away from Election Day, and you're running against somebody who's an incumbent and is a powerful Democrat. So what's your strategy in these final 2 weeks, Ed? Are you going door to door? Do you have some events that you want to share with people?
Yes, I do. Thanks for asking.
Sure.
I'm having a meet and greet tonight at a restaurant called Capone's in East Norriton. It's at 6:30 on Germantown Pike.
Okay.
It's called Capone's. Anybody can look it up. It's easy there. There's a restaurant called The Stray Dog in Skipack, and that is next Tuesday on the 29th, same time, 6:30. I will be there meet and greet for the folks. I've got, I wouldn't say an army of people, but I've got all the districts that I represent that are in District 70, the towns that are in District 70. I've got people working for me on the Republican side that have been knocking doors from day one. I've knocked doors myself. I'll tell this quick story. I ran for sheriff last year unsuccessfully. I bought a new pair of boots, not Western boots, but just new dress boots for the campaign.
Not cowboy boots, no.
Right? We had this wet spring. Remember March and April, how wet it was?
Yes.
I put the boots on in March. I go outside, and my feet got wet because I wore holes in them knocking on doors. I'm going to duplicate what I did last time. I've got people behind me. I've got name recognition because I did run last time. I'm totally confident that I can win this thing. Like I said, I'm a Christian. I teach at my church twice a week on a Wednesday night. God is in this. Part of the main reason I'm doing this is because, let's put it this way, I felt the Lord talking to me.
Aw. Well, it's a beautiful message. Ed Moy for PA, thanks so much for joining me. Really appreciate you. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you so much, Dawn. I really appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully I can call back before the election.
Yes, hopefully so. Ed Moy for PA. And I should have asked him his site, but one of the, I see that they're having some different dinners, friends of Ed Moy, but you can reach out to him at Ed Moy for PA, the little @gmail.com.
And it's Ed Moy for PA.us.
.us. Yep. Thank you. .us. So Ed Moy for PA.us. So what a good man. Thanks for setting that up, Dan.
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear all good things. So. Mm-hmm. It's and that's just it. It's not easy to run for office. You know, I know that we cover it and it's easy to make fun of different people who are, you know, why are they running for office or why would they do this? Or especially at the level of like Trump and so on and so forth. Trump makes it look easy, but it's not easy because you're keeping your day job, right? You're keeping your day job. You got a family. You got all your regular stuff that you got to do. And then you're out and about and doing all, calling into these interviews. So I always respect people for being part of the process. And, you know, the fact that he's speaking at his church, I saw that he was an adjunct professor and even his degree was from Westchester University, although back then they called it Westchester State College, which I forgot about. My husband, Larry, has told me that. So in any event, I hope you enjoyed him. We do want to get to more on Elon Musk. And I want to talk about and do a deep dive as we move forward into this carefully timed lawsuit, the defamation federal lawsuit filed here in Philadelphia. And this comes after the big debate here against Trump. And I'll tell you why. It stems from a case way back to 1989. But I also want to focus on the real victim of this case. And this is a sin, as I say, that the media ignores the real victim in the case because they want to pimp the case and pimp a victim who was left for dead so that they can basically have an opportunity to bash Trump. I'm talking about the media in this case, but we'll go through that one as well. Okay, we need a break. We need to escape to paradise, which brings me to, I got to talk about, yeah, taking the great escape, Italy. You got to come away with me, the Italian Riviera. Ah, paradise on a gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. I hope you join me for 11 incredible days, luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in all of Italy. Trust me on that one. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I'm talking Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. Yes, it includes your airfare. $53.78. Dining events at the wineries in Tuscany. Even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. Or you can just go to conservativetours.com. Scroll up. You'll see my picture there. You'll see all the descriptions of hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, yes, Michelangelo's Florence, and Milan. We will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. Tell them Dawn sent you. Just want to go through this as expeditiously as I possibly can. And talk to you about something that happened here in Philadelphia. This is another lawsuit lobbed at former President Donald J. Trump for something he said while answering a question here in Philadelphia during the debate with the Vice President Kamala Harris. And that was when he was asked by an ABC News anchor, asked about, you may recall this during that debate here in PA, he was asked by an ABC News anchor who brought up the issue of the Central Park rapist story way back in 1989. So first and foremost, I'm not really sure why that's relevant when we had, didn't we just have somebody who was a girl who was 12, 13-ish who was attacked in Central Park? And then it turns out that they were allegedly attacked by somebody who's in this country illegally. Don't we have plenty of crime in New York or in Philadelphia or across the country that's more current than 1989? So what was the agenda there to even bring up these kinds of things? You know, and that's one of the questions I have when I look at this, thinking about media bias. That's why ABC News was panned. even by other networks, for the job that they did. And then they were, remember, they were fact-checking. They weren't supposed to fact-check. Remember that? So do you have that, Dan?
This is the most divisive presidency in the history of our country. There's never been anything like it. They're destroying our country. And they come up with things like what she just said. Going back many, many years, when a lot of people, including Mayor Bloomberg, agreed with me on the Central Park Five, they admitted, they said, they pled guilty. And I said, well, if they pled guilty, they badly hurt a person, killed a person, ultimately. And if they pled guilty, then they pled, we're not guilty. But this is a person that has to stretch back years, 40, 50 years ago.
So that's Trump talking about this issue. And this was, again, his opponent triggering him to say something. But if you listen to that clip, he's not naming anybody. He's quoting a then, you know, official from New York. And they did say that. So I did some fact checking on it. And these 5 men, it's horrible. I mean, they were teenagers at the time. They were exonerated by DNA evidence. There wasn't really much DNA evidence, but the DNA evidence showed another man, a serial rapist, who confessed to it, is the one who then turned things around. And about 10 years ago, the city of New York actually settled with these 5 men, who I say were juveniles at the time, served seven to 13 years behind bars. In truth, they did, according to the authorities at the time, confess to this brutal rape. And it brings me to, you know, thinking about the victim in the story. And nobody brings her up, not in the coverage. This is making news today because of this newly filed lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit, federal lawsuit against Trump, accusing him, although you never heard him name anybody, did you? No, he's not naming anybody. He's talking about a case. He's quoting the officials at the time correctly. And he is saying what they did say at the time, that these 5 juveniles at the time confessed. They were convicted. And he did indeed take out a full page ad back in the day. This is like 1989, 1990, where he talked about the fact that they should bring back the death penalty to curb these types of crimes. And so at one point, and this is within the last 10 years, the victim in the case, she actually had been speaking out and talked about the fact that she was beaten, raped and beaten unconscious, was left for dead. They didn't even, she was a Jane Doe. She was beaten so badly, she was not even identifiable. That's how badly she was beaten. And when they found her, they thought she would never even survive. Her skull was bashed in. She had deep cuts. And so there were a lot of crimes going on at the time in the park. Also, the evidence shows, and the victim says this, that the evidence shows that there was definitely more than one attacker. And so she has spoken out over the years, and she's now a victim's advocate. Whatever happened to, you know, the Me Too movement? But she says, I wish the case had never been settled. So her name is Trisha Mealy, and she was the Central Park jogger, abducted and brutally raped and left for dead. And when somebody found her, they thought she was dead. She was unconscious. She was in a coma. So it's a horrible story. It's amazing to me. Nobody has bothered to mention her name. I had to look it up, for crying out loud. So I don't know if, Dan, if we probably don't have time to go to her audio. Do you have her? Well, that's okay. We'll revisit it. But I just wanted to bring that forth as far as another case of media bias, in my humble opinion, that this woman, does she not deserve a voice as the victim of this? Because you can say somebody was exonerated. Good for, thank God they were exonerated.
I do have Ken Auletta, a former columnist from the New York Daily News, kind of contextualizing the time, if you want.
Okay.
People were punched in the face and pulled off their bicycles.
This is what was going on at the time.
Watches. I mean, it was a kind of a crazy series of incidents that took place in the park.
So that night, because there were so many assaults going on, and she worked as a banker, she got off work at 8 o'clock in the evening and went for her usual jog in Central Park. It was the spring of 1989. But that was what the vice president brought up, the story, never mentioning, to my knowledge or remembrance, you know, the heinous crime against this victim. And in the news, they're saying, oh, he said she was killed and she actually survived. She survived. I mean, you should see, you know, her story. Yes, she survived, but she was beaten brutally within an inch of her life. And even the doctors who treated her, I mean, she was in a coma. They saved her life and said it was like a miracle that she survived.
Here's more from an eyewitness. This is from One Night in Central Park on ABC, Dawn.
This woman is found in the park, covered in blood, near death.
On that night, a little bit before midnight, a woman's body was found about 50 feet down from this area where I'm standing right here. This is the 102nd Street cross path. Yeah. There were two guys making their way from the west side to the east side. They thought it was a man's body, and then they heard moaning.
But she was actually unconscious.
Not conscious, barely alive. She actually had been dragged down to the stream in the ravine that most New Yorkers don't know about, have never seen it.
And so I just want you to have the context of what happened to Trisha. And she barely survived the situation, now a victim's advocate. How disrespectful it is to not put her front and center, because she says this case never should have been settled. She says that all of her attackers were never actually found. So where's the committee? Maybe Liz Cheney, since she has a lot of free time, apparently. Maybe Liz Cheney could start up a panel, investigate, and find these scumbags who beat this woman within an inch of her life. But instead, look at the headlines for yourself. You evaluate how this is being pimped and politicized. And Trump never mentioned anybody's names. He never said anything improper in that debate. He quoted the officials at the time correctly. This is just another witch hunt, another persecution, and using the courts and our tax dollars to do so, shame. That's my line. 855-839-1210. Tim Murtaugh. Just ahead.
Shame.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.